Weekend Breakfast with Allison Curtis on Today FM.
Yes, and as promised, we are very, very excited. Susie Dent has joined us to talk all about her brand new book, Words for Life. Susie, how are you?
I'm fine, Allison. It's lovely to speak to you.
Lovely to speak to you as well. Now, I was saying to you off air, and I said it on air as well, that when I mentioned you were going to be on the show this morning, I got a great reaction to it. You have lots of fans in Ireland, Susie.
Oh, that is so nice to hear. Thank you very much, particularly first thing on a Saturday morning.
Exactly. Now, resident word expert in Dictionary Corner every week on Channel 4's Countdown. And Susie, you still, apparently, you're saying actually that you still get palpitations and your heart rushes when you hear... after all these years.
Yes, honestly, the adrenaline kicks in the moment the clock starts ticking down. And actually, it's quite loud in the studio.
Yeah.
So that often takes our contestants by surprise, that it's not the sort of quiet thing ticking away in the background. There is, you know, there's a lot of pressure in there.
Definitely.
Very different from watching it at home.
So, Susie, I did linguistics in university as part of my degree as well, and I'm really fascinated about language and, like, how we use it and how it can be genderfied and all that kind of stuff in the history of words. So you've never lost your passion for it all. You just... adore it.
I do. I am so cheesy, isn't it, to say I'm so lucky, but I really, really am. I think words found me at quite an early age, Alison. I just remember being attracted to, even before I could read, just attracted to these kind of swirling exotic characters and wanting to decode them in some way. And then I was lost in vocabulary books, but it was actually German vocabulary books that really held my fascination. Yeah, very early on, I mean, it's all about teachers, isn't it? I had a brilliant German teacher and I was just lost. So any opportunity, particularly, I remember we'd go on long trips to the seaside as family at the weekend, and I would just sit in the back of the car just in this world.
Wow.
I know, it's a kind of strange thing, but I'm so grateful for it. And I discovered English dictionaries a little bit later in life, and then that was it. I was hooked.
Yeah, no, and I understand that. Like, I love the history of, you know, how words began and the involvement and the use of them and all of that as well. So you're in the middle of a 26-date tour of your new show, but your book, Words for Life, that really is, I mean, everybody should get their hands on it. Tell us more about it.
Oh, thank you. Well, it is basically a word that provides, a book rather, that provides a word for every day of the year. So it's aimed to be a sort of linguistic vitamin, if you like, a little shot to boost your day. Some of them are etymologies, my favourite ones, favourite stories. Some of them are words from the past that have inexplicably sort of been consigned to the corners of the historical dictionary, and I will never understand why. So it's my one woman attempt to bring them back. And then there's also a lot of what we call untranslatables in there. So words from other cultures that are so specific that we probably would never need them in English, or ones that alternatively actually could be quite useful. So I introduce quite a few of those as well. So there's a page really for every day of the year. And I'm quite happy, Alison, honestly, if it's consigned to the loo. I don't mind being a loo book. That's fine by me, because it is just one that you sort of dip into and hopefully learn a nugget to take away with you.
I think it's brilliant. So you have 19 books under your belt, and one is a children's book as well. Our Roots We Share, 100 Words That Bring Us Together. It's pretty apt for the current climate that we're living in as well.
Yeah.
And Susie, the thing that is fascinating is things like, you know, in Inuit language, for example, there's 400 words for snow. Apparently in Scots have it as well. And how in certain languages we whittle it down, like other languages have multiple words to describe loving something, whereas we've whittled it down in the English language to just a few that we put in everyday lexicon.
Yes. So in ancient Greece, for example, they had many, many words for different kinds of love, from platonic love to relationship love, to sibling love, to friend love. And we also preserved many of those in Old English. But as you say, love has become this sort of all-powerful word. You can love pizza and you can love someone. And it still packs a punch, but I do miss those old words that were very specific. You know, a love from a parent to a child and vice versa. There are so many riches
out different.
There.
It's different. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, of course. Susie, we want to know, because it's a word that is used in Ireland quite a bit, the strange history of the word arse.
Arse. Oh, yes. Well, it's a wonderful word. So it's had many uses, but in its early days, like many, many of our taboos, if you like. I mean, that one's on the sort of milder end. Like many of those words, they weren't particularly improper at the time. They were just simply describing something anatomical. So some of our biggest taboos, actually, you would find in, for example, gynecological textbooks, etc. So Ars is related to the German Arsch. It's a Germanic word.
Oh.
But one of my favourite things, which I put in the book, is that around sort of between Old English and Middle English, I was going to say straddling those periods. That's probably not the best choice of words. But your arse ropes, Alison, were your intestines.
Ooh. Oh.
Just as your muscles were your flesh strings, your arse ropes were your intestines. And I just think that's so descriptive.
It is.
And wonderful. And just such a powerful description. I think if you were to tell your boss on Monday morning, I've got a terrible grumbling in my arse ropes, I think he would say, or she would say, it's fine, you stay at home.
They'd be like, I don't want to know, just stay at home. Susie, what about, I was telling you off air as well, we did a thing on Victorian slang that we wish would come back into vogue. One of my favourite ones was coffee sisters, which is basically your best friend and someone you tell everything to.
I love this. And it reminds me of a word that, again, I put in Words for Life, which is cope mate.
Oh.
And a cope mate is your friend that gets you through thick and thin.
Stays
with you through thick and thin and just gets you through life. So, I think coffee sisters
is good. Cool. There's another one. You probably know this one. Chuckaboo, which is the person, an affectionate term for really good friend. Victorians use chuckaboo.
Chuckaboo is brilliant. There are some wonderful ones from Victorian slang. My favourite, though, has to be their term for sausages, which was bags of mystery.
Oh.
Because you don't know what's in them.
Oh, my God.
Still to this day, I think.
Bags of mystery. Oh, my God. And I love this as well. Finns really do have a word to describe drinking alone in your underwear, a specific word for that very thing.
Yes, I think we've called it pants drunk. And yes, kalsarikeni in Finland means staying at home on your own and drinking in your underwear. I mean, that's what I mean about things that are so specific. And actually, when it comes to alcohol, honestly, English has been hard at work for centuries as well, because we have hundreds of drunkenims in the historical dictionary. And I know people say, well, you just take any noun and stick an ED at the end and you'll get an adjective for being drunk. McIntyre does a lovely sketch about that. But actually, we don't need to, because there are so many.
There's so many.
My favourites are spifflicated and also a very cryptic one from, I think it's from the 18th century, which is, he's been too free with Sir Richard.
That's a good one. And before I let you go, Susie, as well, like, what do you think, and we were just talking about it, Lenny, my producer, and I as well, is the enduring appeal of Countdown? Like, it's just, it hasn't lost any of its appeal.
I think it is all about the format. I mean, the contestants obviously are the most important people there, but the format is such that you know the rules within, you know, a couple of games. It's very simple to follow along, and you just can't help but play. I think, and we find that with the comedy Countdown as well, is that the audience, we have a live audience there, that they are there to enjoy themselves and have a laugh, but also you can really see them trying to, you know, crack the numbers challenge or come up with the longest word. It's a kind of compulsion to join in. I think that's
great.
A really special gift. And it's very simple, you know.
Yeah, and also across the generations as well. Susie, Dent, I knew I'd like talking to you. I didn't know I'd love it this much. Thank you so much for your time this morning. And we'll plug the book again as well. And we hope you make your way to Ireland sometime. And Susie, Dent, thank you.
Definitely. Next year, I am definitely coming to Ireland. So
excellent.
Really love to see you there. Thank you so much, Alison.
Brilliant. Thank you, Susie, Dent. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Take care. Bye. Bye. John Legend, Tiesto, All of Me. On Today FM, this is Weekend Breakfast, Alison Curtis. It is exactly 23 minutes to 11.